This is the 29th of June, 1976, and we are speaking with Mrs. Knutson. Would you please give us your full name?
My name is Ellen Knutson.
And what was your maiden name?
Paulson.
Paulson. Would you please give us your maiden name?
My maiden name was Paulson.
And you are of Danish descent?
That's right.
Who was it that came from Denmark?
My mother and father came from Denmark, but they were not married at the time. My father came to this country in 1888 and worked his way from New York to the West Coast on the railroad, building the railroads. And my mother came in 1893. She came with a sister who had already been in America and was home visiting. And so she came back with her.
Would you give us your parents' names?
My mother's name was Anna Helena Nielsen, and my father's name was Jørgen Poulsen.
Now, where did they come from in Denmark?
My mother came from Sindal, which is north of Limfjorden, and my father was born in Sofiendal, but he grew up in Dybbøl.
Do you know any of the circumstances as to why they decided to leave? I know your mother came with a sister, but were there any other reasons for leaving Denmark?
Yes, I have read some of my mother's memoirs now, years after she had died, and found out that she was in love with a fellow, and for some reason, she broke up with this man. And so when her sister came to visit, she decided that this was the time that she should leave and go other places. She had been teaching elementary schools in Denmark before this time. My father came after he had served 3 years in the German army. That was because he was born in that part of Denmark which was German until 1920.
Have either of your parents told you about anything about their trip to this country?
No, not really. Mother's cried a great deal on the way over. She regretted that she had made the decision to come. About father's experiences, I only know this about working on the railroad, and because he did not speak English and could not understand it, he made a lot of mistakes. One time he was supposed to split some
ties
for the railroad, and he understood he knew how to split wood. So he split the whole thing into kindling wood.
Oh no. Now, did your mother speak any English when she came?
She must have. Although she never let us know that she understood English because she wanted us to learn the Danish. And so it wasn't until I was about 14 years old that I discovered that mother read English.
You said she was a teacher in Denmark. Do you know what kind of an education she had in order to become a teacher in Denmark?
Well, I know that she had been, she attended a folk school and some teacher training. But just where, I don't know.
Do you know the circumstances of how they met and were married?
Yes. My father had a cousin in this country, and this cousin had a friend. So there were these three gentlemen met and visited together and got together. And my mother came to her sister's home, and she met a young girl who had come over about the same time as she did. And at one time, these three women must have been at some dock along Puget Sound someplace. This was all out in the Tacoma area. And they saw three gentlemen coming off the ferry boat, and for fun, they said, let's decide which one we want. And it sounds unreasonable, but the three girls married the three fellows that they chose at the time.
That is uncanny. Now, did they live in Tacoma then?
Yes, they lived in Tacoma for about 5 years or so. Then they moved to Enumclaw, where my father rented a small farm. But my mother was homesick, and she just didn't feel that she could raise her children in this barbarian country. And so in 1904, they were married in 94. But in 1904, they went back to Denmark with five children. They sold everything they owned and furniture and everything, and went back with the idea of staying in Denmark. And they visited relatives for 6 months, and then my father had bought a small farm near Vejle. My mother came from northern Denmark with three of the children, and my father came from his family in the southern part with two children, and they met in Fredericia and were going to go to this farm. But my father had decided that he just could not make a living for a family in Denmark at this time, and he had canceled out the sale. And so when he met Mother in Fredericia, he told her that they were not going to the farm, they were going back to America.
And where did they come in America then?
Then they came to Michigan, because my father had a brother living in Michigan at the time, a brother who left Denmark because he did not want to serve in the German army, and consequently never went back. He didn't dare go back when he was a young man for fear he would be taken in the army. And so they were going to stop to visit him on their way out to Tacoma, because naturally they were going back to the friends and the people that they knew in Tacoma. And this uncle prevailed on them to stay in Michigan instead of making that long trip out to the West Coast. And so they stayed in Michigan until, well, then I was born in 1905 in Michigan. And then we left Michigan in 1910 and moved to Minnesota.
Do you remember any of the houses that you lived in as a child in Minnesota?
Yes. The first year we were there, my father rented the farm mostly for the house, because he had already bought 80 acres and he was clearing it and plowing it. But we had to have a place to live because there were no buildings on the farm. Then his brother came at Christmas time that year, and he and his brother built a log cabin on the 80 acres, 1 mile south of town, of the town of Asco. And he had bought two oxen, because horses were more expensive than oxen, and so he had bought two oxen on a sale. And these two oxen he plowed and cleared the land with. And my brother felt so embarrassed, because everyone else had horses, that when they had to drive out to the farm from the north side of town and go through the town and out to the south side, he wanted to get up real early in the morning and do that before anyone saw him, because he was so embarrassed about the oxen team.
Would you describe your mother's kitchen in the log cabin?
My mother's kitchen in the log cabin had very rough flooring, and this I know because I sometimes washed the floor for her. And I remember one time I had washed the floor, started out with a full bucket of water, and ended up with no water in the bucket.
Can you tell me about your mother's stove and what she used for fuel out there in the
Yes, it was a regular wood-burning cook stove, and we youngsters had to carry in the wood, of course. That was one of the main jobs. And it had a kitchen cabinet, no kind of refrigeration, except that there was one room off the kitchen that had a cement flooring, and there we put all the food on the floor in dishes to cool it and keep it.
Where did you take the proverbial Saturday night bath?
in the kitchen in a round tub, and we started out with one tub of water, and everyone took their turn. I think the little ones started first.
And so you were one of the you got the clean water.
Mm-hmm. But there was a story that went around in Asco about a woman who lived on second floor, and it was so difficult to get the water up there, so that when she had washed and she had rinsed her clothes in the bluing water, she would wash her youngsters in the bluing water because that would...
Where did you get the water?
We got our water from a well right outside in the yard.
Living on the farm, how did you get to school?
Well, for several years we walked, and then I think they started with school buses, wagons they were, because I remember an incident in the wintertime. It was a canvas covered wagon that was a school bus with benches on either side, and a small round oil stove in the middle to keep it warm for us, and hay in the bottom because that also helped keep our feet warm. And the roads were very, very rough at this time, and the wagon slid off the track, and it tumbled over. And here we were in the back of that covered wagon with a lit oil stove going and a whole bunch of kids. But we got out of there. We kicked our way. I think we kicked the canvas to pieces and got out.
What were some of the games you played at school? Summer, fall, winter?
Oh, we played ball, and we played... when we got together and visited other families, I remember one game that we played. The girls would be seated on the chairs and had blindfolds on, and the fellows would stand one fellow behind each girl. And this was sort of a trick. And then there was a spare girl who would come in and kiss the girl. And then we were to guess which one of the fellows had kissed us, because we didn't know about the spare girl. And there was one fellow that I just did not appreciate or like, and his name was Alfred. And since then, I have never liked the name Alfred. But he stood behind my chair, and I thought he had kissed me. And I turned around and whacked him one and says, "You will never do that again."
Uh-huh. Now, in this school, was it a school where you spoke Danish or English?
No, I started the first grade, but I didn't speak a word of English, because we had learned nothing but Danish at home. My mother had taught us to read. We could all read Danish before we started to go to school.
Do you remember any of the experiences you had because you could not speak English or read English?
Yes, I remember standing in line. We didn't have any cafeteria in the school, but each child brought a cup, and then the home ec room would make some kind of a soup, potato soup, corn soup, cocoa, or something that went with our sandwiches. And I remember standing with my cup in line, and some fellow said to me, "You've got crumbs in your cup." And I said, "I'll just go and skillet." The Danish word for rinse is skylle.
And you have used
the skillet. I had used the Danish word, and I wasn't aware of it. "I'll just go and skillet." But this fellow laughed and laughed at me.
Did you go to a Danish Lutheran church?
Yes.
As a child?
There was only one church in the community, and it was a Danish Lutheran.
How far did you have to go to church as a family?
A mile.
And did you walk it, or did you go with the oxen? Or?
No, we drove in the wagon, in the lumber wagon. I was confirmed the 21st of March, and we all wore white dresses and white shoes. But the roads were so terrible. They had been, and the ground had been so frozen that the roads were full of ruts. So I was standing up. I was scared to sit down in this new dress, and so I stood up in the back of the lumber wagon with stockings pulled over my white shoes to protect them, and that way I got into the church. And we were, I think, 48 in the confirmation class.
Now, it is, as I remember, a custom in Denmark to have a kind of a party for the person that's being confirmed. Was that custom carried out in this community?
Yes, it surely was.
Can
yes.
you describe your party for us?
Well, I can remember that the superintendent of schools was invited. Mother was always a friend of school people, it seems, and she had invited the principal of the school, and the pastor made his call like he did to all the homes, I think. And I had this white dress on, I certainly remember that.
Did you receive any particular gifts?
Yes, and I still have the gift that I received from that principal. It was lyrics of the Revolutionary War.
Just as we asked your husband if he could recite any Danish poetry for us, do you remember anything at all you could share with us so we can hear your Danish?
Nu lukker sig mit øje, o fader i det høje, i varetægt mig tag. Fra synd, fra sorg og far, din engle mig bevarer, som ledet har min fod i dag.
Well, thank you very much.
That's an evening prayer.
An evening prayer. Did you stay on this farm until you were grown, or did you move off the farm before
no,
you were grown?
No, my parents eventually built a very nice house and barns and everything, and my parents retired to the town in 1927, and were then going to take a trip to the West Coast to see their relatives. My mother had six brothers and sisters living in the Tacoma area, and my father also had relatives there. And they were going to take this trip after all these years. But on the 19th of May, about 2 weeks before they were to leave, my father died suddenly of a heart attack. And so at that time there were no plans for going out there. But then in the fall, my younger sister and I took mother out to visit her relatives.
Did your father ever become a citizen?
Yes, but he didn't pay a penny for it. It was a custom to hand out citizen papers at election time to get people to elect to vote, and that's how he got his citizen papers.
And
was it a certain party which offered him his citizenship papers?
That I don't know.
Or a candidate?
That could be, but I don't know for sure.
And did your mother then become a citizen when
yes.
he became a citizen?
Yes.
Did your father ever take part in politics?
No. My father was a very strong cooperative man and was instrumental in building a cooperative creamery in this small community of Asco, Minnesota.
Would you tell us if there were any special illnesses in your home as a child?
Well, I remember that we all had measles at one time, except my oldest sister. And then in 1918, when the whole country had the flu, we also had that, and I was very, very ill at the time.
Did your mother have any special home remedies for things that were not serious enough to go to a doctor?
Yes. She had one remedy that we youngsters just hated. Every spring we were to take several tablespoons of caraway seed mixed with syrup, and that was to cleanse our blood. It had apparently gotten too thick during winter time.
Do you remember of any other incidents of her using some home remedy?
And then when we had colds, she always put woolen pieces of woolen material on our chest, and that was itchy, and we didn't like that either.
Now, if you had a toothache, what did she do?
Well, I don't really remember that much was done. I remember going to the dentist when I was 11 years old because we had to take the train from Asco 6 miles south to the next town where there was a dentist. And I could leave school at 10:30 and take the train on my own and be back at noon. And all youngsters had to do that.
Did you learn to play an instrument when you were a little girl?
Yes, we had an organ, and that organ we must have gotten shortly after we moved to Minnesota, because I remember that in our home always, also in the log cabin.
Where did you take lessons?
I took lessons from the doctor's wife, who was a very fine pianist, and she did this. She taught piano mostly because the doctor never sent bills to anyone, and they had a family too and had nothing to live on. People would give them a load of wood, or they'd bring in a choice piece of meat or something, but no money. So eventually she started to give piano lessons, and everyone in town took piano lessons from Mrs. Fenger.
Do you know what a lesson cost?
50 cents. It started with 25 cents, but then it went to 50 cents.
Now, after you finished the local schooling, what further schooling did you take?
Well, I graduated from high school in 21, and then I worked for a couple of years. Then I came to Grandview in 25 and 26, and then I took a summer at the University of Iowa, and I took had another summer at the University of Chicago, and 6 months of training at a gymnastic school in Denmark. And in those days, teaching certificates weren't always required, and I did teach. I taught at Grandview, taught gymnastics at Grandview for 3 years before we were married.
Taught in your hometown?
Yes, I taught in my hometown too.
Now, where did you teach there?
In the public school.
In the public school?
Yeah.
Now, can you tell us the circumstances of how you two met and what led to marriage?
Well, I think Joe should really tell that. But I remember seeing him when I was 14, and this was at a young people's convention held in my hometown. He was then 17, and he was not looking at a 14-year-old girl. And then I got acquainted with him because my brother was a student at the folk school in Tyler where my husband grew up. And so they knew each other. And then later on at Grandview while I was teaching here.
Now, when you went to Denmark the first time, did it live up to the things that your parents had told you about Denmark?
Yes and no. I was not very much in favor of going to Denmark, but my mother thought that belonged with our education, that we should know where our roots were. And so she was instrumental in getting me to go. But then I discovered that I could go to a gymnastics school, and that was interesting for me. And I enjoyed that very, very much. And I had a roommate. I was given a roommate who was 4 or 5 years older than I, and I think they thought that she was mature enough that she could control this wild American who they couldn't quite figure out what to do with me. But they discovered that I could understand the Danish and speak it also, and that helped. But I enjoyed those 6 months at the Snohary Gymnastics School very, very much. And to this day, I still correspond with this roommate, and I see her every time we go to Denmark.
You mentioned you were a wild child in Denmark. I understand it may have been a forest fire that gave you a little of this wildness. Would you tell us about the forest fire?
Yes. Our home was 1 mile south of town, and the people belonging to our community lived as far north as 4 and 5 miles. And on a September evening, when my father went up to burn some potato tops in the field, he came home before he set fire to his potato tops, because he said there was a very strong wind, and he said there was something that is not good, because the sky is blazing red to the north. There must be a big fire someplace. Before the evening was over, we heard that the forest fire, which had started at a community about 20 miles north of us, was coming down toward our town. And we were told to put all the possessions that we could and wanted on wagons to be hauled away in case the fire came any closer. Well, the fire came within 3 miles of our community, and 6 families that belonged to our church were burned out completely. None of them, none of those people were killed, but the community 20 miles north of us lost about 250 people who went down in a lake that was right alongside the town, and they thought they would be safe there, but instead they were killed by the smoke. It was the custom in those early years to can as many berries, and particularly blueberries, which were plentiful in that area, to can as many blueberries as we could. And it was a custom that every home should have around 200 quarts of canned blueberries, because other fruit like peaches and pears were very expensive, and people just didn't have the ready money for those things. So this neighbor of ours, where there were 12 children, when we heard about the fire, she said to her children that they could each go down and take the fruit that they wanted, take a quart of fruit of whatever they wanted, and eat it. And here sat on the front porch, sat most of these youngsters with their quart of fruit, eating away, because they may not have it. They may have to leave it. And I remember that sight.
Oh, that must have been something. A little earlier in the evening, when we were talking to your husband about Christmases in his home, which was the folk school, you mentioned something about how this had affected your Christmases in your married life. Would you tell us about that?
Yes. In my own home, I don't remember that we had company Christmas Eve, although I'm sure if anyone came in at that time, my mother and father would take them in. But when we started our own home, we automatically invited either old people or homeless people or someone that new to the community into our home for Christmas Eve. And I remember particularly one Christmas Eve where we had invited an old couple plus an old lady. And we had been at services at 5 o'clock, and then we would go home and get the dinner ready. And this one couple had a cow, and so we knew that they had to go home and milk their cow. But they didn't come, and they didn't come, and we just could not understand what had happened. Finally they came. In the meantime, the other old lady, who was used to eating her supper at 6 o'clock, got so weak because she hadn't eaten, that I finally had to go out and butter 2 big pieces of pumpernickel for her. And after she had eaten that, she revived just beautifully and could wait for the other couple to come. 8 weeks. And my mother and father were with him most of the time. And then when he was to be buried, our community had not built the church yet, and so my mother thought it was so terrible that there wasn't going to be a church bell rung for this funeral. But when the superintendent of schools heard this, he had all the children excused, and they lined the street from the school and out to the cemetery. And when the cortege passed, well, he rang the school bell.
That's an unusual funeral procession, isn't it?
And after that, Mother never talked about going back to Denmark anymore. She had a grave on the cemetery, and that satisfied her.
Would you tell us about your own children and what they are doing today?
We have two children. Our oldest, Sanya, was born in the parsonage in Asko 3 days after the national convention of our church, which was held in Asko at the time. I had to appear in church every day because otherwise the people would be asking my husband, has she gone to the hospital yet?
Now, was she born in the hospital then?
No, she wasn't. She was born in the parsonage.
And how was her birth announced?
The neighbor came over and hoisted the flag in front of the parsonage, and someone rang the church bell so that the whole community would know that Sanya had arrived.
And I also understand you were very, very modern even today in that your husband helped with the delivery.
Yes, I think he did. I'm not so sure that I was quite aware of it.
What does Sanya do today?
Sanya is now teaching at Augustana College in Rock Island. She has been there for 7 years. She has made many trips to Denmark and to Europe. She has studied 1 year at the University of Copenhagen. And sometimes I think it's difficult for her to decide whether she should live in Denmark or live in the United States.
And what about your other daughter?
And Lois, our youngest girl, 4 years younger than the old one, has taught elementary school English in junior high for 12 years. She has two children, Lisa and Erica, and she and her husband live in San Jose, California.
What is her husband's name?
Gordon Lund, and he comes from Vibor, South Dakota, and the two met at Grandview College when they became folk dance partners.
You had a very special childhood, just as your husband did, but instead of having such a public life, you were born in a very Danish community. Could you reflect on the advantages and disadvantages of being born in such and raised in such a community?
We, of course, everyone spoke Danish except the depot agent. And besides not speaking Danish, he was also a Catholic, the only Catholic in the community. But he was a very, very nice man, and everyone liked Mr. Danielson. But I remember during the war, World War I, when it was not patriotic to speak anything but English, my girlfriend and I had never spoken anything else but Danish when we were playing. And so we just didn't know how to cope with this. I remember in the school we would go out behind the cloakroom door and stand and tell each other tales in Danish, because that was the way we had always done it. And our teacher would not let us talk Danish in the schoolroom.
Do you feel that there were any special emphasis in your upbringing that reflected your parents' Danish culture?
Oh, yes, there were many. I don't know if this is particularly Danish, but we were quite poor. But my mother always had a white tablecloth on Sunday morning for breakfast, and we always had fresh cinnamon rolls, which she baked on Saturday.
And that meant a Danish home to you as far as
you were concerned. Yes. And mother was a great storyteller. There are still people in that community who can remember how she told stories to them when they were Sunday school children. And she told us stories too. She knitted. I remember one Christmas she gave away 24 pairs of knitted mittens to children in the community. And she was, she loved to read, and it wasn't always that there was time enough for reading.
Did she have any other handicrafts or handcrafts besides knitting?
She made cheese, and I think it was because she had to save, and so instead of buying the cheese, she made it. And one of the family still has the cheese press that she used. I think it came from Denmark.
Did she teach you how to make cheese?
Only by, we helped and we watched. And I remember when in the early days that we also churned the butter. And I'm sure I can churn butter today if I have to.
Did your mother make anything else, any other item used around the house?
Well, she sewed most of our clothes. She didn't have much time for embroidery, but we girls have all taken to embroidery, and particularly Danish embroidery.
You have sort of given us a little character sketch of your mother. Would you kind of do the same thing as far as your father is concerned?
Yes, my father was a very hard-working man, and it bothered him terribly for many years that we were so poor. He chewed tobacco, and I remember him standing out looking at his pigs, and he was very, very good at doing arithmetic in his head. He always helped us when we had arithmetic problems. But he didn't know how to put it down on paper, so we sort of had to improvise that part of it. But he was standing looking at his pigs, and I am sure that he was figuring out in his head how much he could get for those pigs and what that could buy. When I was a student at Grandview, he wrote to me that he was terribly sorry that he couldn't help me with any more tuition money because our best cow had died. So I had to go into the president of the college at that time and tell him that I didn't have money for the next semester, what should I do? And he said that he would see to it that I got money so that I could stay the year through, and he did.
What was his name?
Heuberg.
Would you also tell me what made you study physical education, physical culture, at a time when it wasn't popular for girls to do this?
I think that came about because we had gymnastics in our community, and that, I suppose, happened because it was a Danish community. People coming from Denmark were used to growing up in communities where there were gymnastics. And there was gymnastics for children and for young people, and both girls and boys. We would walk the mile, after we had helped with the chores, we walked the mile into the community hall and did gymnastics for an hour and a half, and really...
This is just before 4th of July. I guess we can be forgiven for having fireworks on your tape.
And then we would walk home again. And we enjoyed that. And I was good at gymnastics. I was a high jumper.
Did you ever go around to other communities to, with a group to show off your gymnastics?
Yes, but that was mostly the boys that did that. I don't believe the girls' team did.
And you participated in gymnastics here at Grandview?
Yes, I did.
And you later came back to teach?
Yes. After I had studied gymnastics in Denmark for 6 months.
Now, we have only known you for a very short period of time, but it's obvious you have been married for some years and you're now retired. Are there any plans to visit Denmark in the future?
Well, I wanted my husband to go last year when his daughter was over there, but he said he didn't want to go, he wasn't ready yet. But we have been over there four times together, and I have been once alone. And we still have relatives, I still have cousins living in Denmark.
No plans.
No plans.
Wishes.
Wishes. Well, thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you so much. The evening, I just looked at my watch and I see we have been here 2.5 hours. Oh dear.
May I just quickly make either a cup of coffee or a cup of tea?
Is it customary for you to drink coffee at this hour?
Should I have this on?